96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tomorrow is the day for hearts and flowers and candy, but all this month is Heart Month. And tonight we're asking, how is your ticker? Are you doing everything you should do to keep it healthy? Tonight it's a Medical Monday, and we're talking about heart health. And my guests are Dr. Brian Curry, a Howard University cardiologist, and Gail Harris Berry. She is an American Heart Association ambassador, and she's a heart attack survivor. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to follow me on Twitter at H. Fisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Dr. Curry, good to see you again.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Gail Harris Berry, we are so glad to have you around with us on the line.
Good to be here.
Yes, I'm sure it is. We're going to talk about that, too. First of all, Dr. Curry, heart disease remains in 2017 the biggest killer of all people compared to any of the diseases. Why is that, and why haven't we been able to get our hearts, if I may, and hands around this disease and get it controlled?
That's a good question. Heart disease is the biggest killer, which is the most important point. It kills more people than all the cancers combined, and cancer is the number two killer. Heart disease includes heart attacks, it includes vascular disease, it includes heart failure, rhythm disturbances, so it's a very important organ, but it's just a very big disease process. There is about one heart attack in this country every 40 seconds. There are a lot of risk factors, including high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, a lack of physical activity, being overweight, a family history of heart disease. And so a lot of people aren't aware of their risk factors. They don't, in a sense, know their numbers, such as their cholesterol levels. But also, if people don't go to the doctor and get checked out before they get sick, often the first thing that happens is some sort of event.
Even poor dental hygiene can contribute to heart problems.
Yes, and that has to do with the inflammation from gum disease and poor dental care, which can affect your heart and your blood vessels.
Well, let's talk to Gail. Gail, you've not had one, not had two, but you've had three heart-related episodes, and you're still standing. Briefly, what's your story?
Well, first, as Dr. Kerr indicated, I have family history of heart disease. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. All of the men on my father's side of the family died before the age of 50, and I had my first episode at age 46. And so knowing my family history and my going to the doctor, to the hospital, I'm sorry, five different occasions, two different hospitals, but each time I was turned away saying nothing was wrong. Everyone looking at me and saying, there's nothing wrong with your heart. But one hospital did give me a prescription to go get a stress test. I did that, passed with fine colors. But yet and still, I knew something was going on in my body, but I just couldn't really pinpoint what it was. And so on my fifth trip, I just refused to leave the hospital because by that time I was so haggard. I was extremely fatigued, could hardly put one foot in front of the other. I did have tingling in the left arm, but I didn't have chest pain. So I didn't have the atypical symptoms. I didn't have high blood pressure, and I didn't have high cholesterol. So, of course, they're looking at me now and start thinking that I'm having psychological problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that last episode, what happened? That was the most severe, wasn't it?
Well, what happened is after finally being diagnosed with heart disease, I had two stents placed. And then from that, each year, I had to get the nuclear stress test to make sure that my stents were in place and still operating. Well, when I went to take the nuclear stress, the cardiologist said that they saw something going on, and they weren't sure if my stents were operating properly or still in place. So I went in for an absorptory cast. And what happened is I had the cath released to go home, and I bled out from it. And from that, I wound up in a coma for 3 weeks. At that point, they didn't think that I was going to live. My aorta had to be clamped to force blood to my brain, had four surgeries, and then extensive rehab afterwards. And so I'm just grateful to still be alive.
And we're glad that you are here. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday. We are talking about heart health. This is Heart Health Month. My guests are Dr. Brian Curry, Howard University cardiologist, and Gail Harris-Berry. She is an American Heart Association ambassador and a heart attack survivor. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go on, Gail mentioned a couple of things that for the layman, I'm sure they're probably going, huh, what is that? What's a nucleus stress test?
A nuclear stress test.
And also an absorptory? What was she referring to?
There, Dr. Curry, are you going to answer?
Yes. There are several types of stress tests, and the most common type is where we walk you on a treadmill, and people think they're going to come in and run while we monitor them. The nuclear stress test is one where we inject you with a radioactive substance, which makes your heart light up if it's normal. If we see areas that don't light up, we can tell that the blood's not getting there because it goes to where the blood goes. It has a very high level of sensitivity compared to the plain treadmill, but there are several different types of stress tests. There's a nuclear test. There's a stress test with ultrasound. We now have cardiac CAT scan capabilities. There are stress MRI studies. All of them have pros and cons. Now, those are the non-invasive ways to evaluate your heart for coronary disease.
Okay, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about heart health. What are the signs of heart disease? What are you doing right? What are you doing wrong to make sure that you are heart healthy? Let's talk a little bit about something Gail also mentioned. She mentioned that in at least one and perhaps several visits, she was told by physicians and the medical professionals that there was nothing wrong with her, and yet she knew something was wrong. So why is there this debate in the emergency room or in a medical facility, particularly with women, about what is and what is not going on?
That's a very good question, and that's something that we deal with all too frequently, where something is happening, the symptoms aren't as typical. And we believe that for years, heart disease was thought of as an older man's disease. It wasn't studied in women. It wasn't studied in minorities either. And the belief was that it was something else that's going on. And we've made great progress in the past 10 to 20 years, but there's still a lot of work to do. The typical risk factors were things like high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, family history. And the typical symptoms were considered chest pain or pressure and sweating when you walk or, say, go up a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But we know now that the atypical symptoms might be that crippling fatigue that's out of proportion to what you're doing, nausea. People may think they have a stomach virus, sweating for no apparent reason, the feeling of your heart skipping or racing for no reason, things that don't seem to make sense, and it may be very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a change, it's worth asking, and it's very important to have a doctor that you see on a regular basis, somebody who's followed you, who knows you, and also to have that open dialogue so that if something doesn't feel right, you know that you're talking to someone that you have a relationship with and someone that you can trust.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about heart health tonight on this Medical Monday. Let's talk to Terry. Terry calling from Northeast Washington. Terry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I've been told that I have, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that I have pulmonary hypertension, which gives me limited ability to exercise. So two things happen that concerns me, like if I carry a case of water, from upstairs to my home, which is about 18 stairs. When I get up there, if I haven't been exercising on the regular, then, you know, I'm winded as if I sprinted, you know, 50 yards. And the other thing is, when I do feel good, like exercising,
mm-hmm.
and I get a good workout in, it takes me about 2 weeks to recuperate. And,
Terry, we're having a little bit of difficulty understanding you, but we do understand you mentioned pulmonary heart hypertension. First, let's talk about that, and then we can talk about some of the other issues that he mentioned, Dr. Curry.
Well, pulmonary hypertension is a very significant, very severe disease to have.
What is it?
It's a high blood pressure that is in the blood vessels that go to your lungs. And so it can be caused by heart disease, but it can also be caused by diseases of the lungs separately from the heart. And they may have symptoms similar to heart disease, such as difficulty breathing, fatigue, pain, and things like that. And so if someone were to come in with symptoms, pulmonary hypertension is one of the things that we may have to think about as part of what may be happening with the patient, mm-hmm. if it's not a heart attack or something else.
Well, and Terry was saying that, you know, after exercising, that he feels there's an issue with recuperating. And so what should he be talking to his doctor about?
If someone has pulmonary hypertension and say has trouble with fatigue or recuperating, the first thing is seeing if they have seen a lung specialist. There are people who specialize in lung disease, but also people who specialize specifically in pulmonary hypertension who may be cardiovascular heart specialist or lung specialist. Mm-hmm. Because it's a disease that sort of covers both areas.
Okay. Terry, thank you so much, and good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kafui calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just had a question.
Sure.
What's the chance of you catching it if your father had it, but nobody before him, like grandfather or uncles, had it? What's the chances of me catching any kind of heart disease?
It depends on the age that your father had. It can be a little bit difficult, especially in some communities where it's difficult to know what your grandparents had and track the family history back. But so far, family history is one risk factor, but you can lower your risk by exercising, knowing your cholesterol, keeping it below 200, knowing your blood pressure, cardiovascular exercise, a heart-healthy diet, and not smoking, and taking general care of yourself.
Okay.
Well, Kafui, thank you so much. We appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about heart health on this Medical Monday. Of course, this is Heart Health Month, and we're talking about heart disease, what you need to do to take care of your heart, talking about whether or not people in your family have it and whether or not it can be an issue for you. So please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Real quick, Gail, you mentioned, how old were you when you had your first episode?
46.
You were 46. Now, how old are you now?
53.
You're 53. How do you feel now?
I feel great now. And the other thing is, when I had my lipid profile done, and that's blood work,
mm-hmm.
About a year or so ago, went into my cardiologist and we went over it. He said to me, my numbers reflect as if I had never had a heart attack. But that's because I've been vigilant about my risk factors now. So that is, like you said, watching my diet, getting exercise on a regular. And also, as I have been passionate about getting the word out to anyone who wants to hear my story through the American Heart Association, because I do feel great now. I'm in great shape now. But you have to stay on top of it.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to drill down a little bit more, Gail, on the other side of this conversation about the kind of exercises you're doing, what you're eating now that perhaps you didn't eat before, and vice versa. So please, Gail, stay with us. We want to continue to hear your story. Also, if you're on the line, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll have more of this conversation in just a bit at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.